ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 5 चैप्टर 5 टेक्स्ट 4 ट्रांसलेशन एंड कमेंट्री बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद। नूनं प्रमथ कुरुते विकर्म यदिन्द्रिय प्रीत्य आप्नोति न साधु मन्ये यत आत्मनोऽयम् असन्नपि क्लेशद आसदेहः नूनं प्रमथ कुरुते विकर्म यद् इन्द्रिय प्रीत्य आप्नोति न साधु मन्ये यत आत्मनोऽयम् असन्नपि क्लेशद आसदेहः। Then verse translation. When a person considers sense gratification the aim of life, he certainly becomes mad after materialistic living and engages in all kinds of sinful activity. He does not know that due to his past misdeeds, he has already received a body which, although temporary, is the cause of his misery. Actually, the living entity should not have taken on a material body, but he has been awarded the material body for sense gratification. Therefore, I think it not befitting an intelligent man to involve himself again in the activities of sense gratification, by which he perpetually gets material bodies, one after another. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Begging, borrowing, and stealing to live for sense gratification is condemned in this verse because such consciousness leads one to a dark, hellish condition. The four sinful activities are illicit sex, meat eating, intoxication, and gambling. These are the means by which one gets another material body that is full of miseries. In the Vedas, it is said, Asango hyang purushaha. The living entity is not really connected with the material world, but due to his tendency to enjoy the material senses, he is put into the material condition. One should perfect his life by associating with devotees. He should not become further implicated in the material body. When a person considers sense gratification the aim of life, he suddenly becomes mad. Mad after materialistic living. It's to say someone's mad after something is an English idiom, which doesn't mean that you're what is called clinically mad. It means that you're very much eager for it. But actually, it is mad. Because then one performs sinful activities, then one gets another body in which one suffers again. So the conclusion is that everyone in the material world is mad because everyone in the material world is interested in sense gratification. In this regard, I'll read an extract from statement of Srila Prabhupada to a psychiatrist. Srila Prabhupada, as he traveled around the world, he met many people, mostly well-educated people in different fields, meetings were arranged for him by his disciples. So in one place he spoke to a psychiatrist. You know what a psychiatrist is? Difference between there's a psychiatrist, there's psychiatry, and there's psychology. They're not the same, exactly. Psychology means the study of the mind, and psychiatry means the treatment of people with disordered minds. So Srila Prabhupada said that our viewpoint is that in the material world, whoever has accepted this material body, anyone, but we especially take the human society, they require treatment, everyone. Because the psychiatrist is giving treatment. There are different kinds of psychiatric treatments by electric shock, chemical treatment, psychotherapy with different types of psychotherapy, and so on. Chemical treatment, yeah. Give a tablet or whatever. Everyone is mentally diseased, and therefore he is unhappy. Everyone. Harava bhaktasya kuto mahadguna. Anyone who has no sense of God consciousness, he is diseased mentally. He requires treatment. The whole human society, especially at the present moment, they have given up God consciousness. They are not interested. That is their disease. So we often speak about the materialistic consciousness being a diseased condition. And it's taken to be metaphorical that we say it's a diseased condition. But actually it's not metaphorical, it's a fact. It's a disease. That which causes us pain and suffering and is not at all pleasant. It means something wrong. If the disease of the body means it's infected by some germs, that's the most common explanation. Or mentally diseased, exactly what are the causes of that, it's more difficult to trace. But it's recognized, it's not the normal condition, and something wrong there. Someone could not be in a normal condition and be very happy. Sometimes people used to say in the Western countries that our devotees are crazy because they're so happy. It's unusual. It's not normal, so it must be crazy. Is it a disease? A disease means suffering. So Srila Prabhupada, continuing Srila Prabhupada's statement, everyone requires treatment. The whole Krishna conscious movement is the mass treatment of the materialistic persons who are mentally diseased. That is our proposition. And then Srila Prabhupada went on to tell an anecdote. He several times told this. In India there was a case, a court case. A man committed murder and his lawyer pleaded that he was mad at that time. He's not mad now, but he was mad at the time. We also accept that unless one becomes mad, one cannot commit murder or suicide. So the civil surgeon was brought to give evidence whether this man is actually mad. The civil surgeon was brought to examine him to see if he was mad or not. The civil surgeon said that, so far my experience is concerned, I have treated so many persons, in my opinion, everyone is mad. So if on account of madness one should be excused from the Lord, then it is your honor's discretion, but so far I have studied, more or less, everyone is mad. Srila Prabhupada continued, similarly, our study is that unless one is mad, he cannot remain in this material world. Everyone is mentally diseased and they are concocting their ideas, different ideas, and they are overlapping my idea, your idea, overlapping. Therefore, there is a clash, unhappiness, violence, individually, socially, family-wise, nation-wise. Just like in India, some people say, no cow slaughter, it's our religion. And other people say, there must be cow slaughter, it's our religion. And then there's human slaughter over this difference. Yeah. This is going on, Prabhupada said. Therefore, everyone requires a treatment, psychiatrist's treatment. And the best treatment is to induce a person to become Krishna conscious. Then everything will be all right. Otherwise, a person who is not Krishna conscious or God conscious, he is basically a madman and requires treatment. A ghostly haunted man. This is another example given. Pishachi paile jena moti channa hoy, maya grosta jibe hoy shei bhavudoy. Yeah, the translation is not given. I'll give it. Means just like someone who's, here it says pishachi, but anyway, the general meaning is just like haunted by a ghost. You become crazy. So this is the position of someone who's caught by Maya, swallowed up by Maya. We're all mad. There's little sanity we can start to take the treatment, which is, first of all, to understand that we're insane. It's often very difficult to treat people who are psychologically disordered. Now, we just said everyone's psychologically disordered, but there is a general standard of what's considered normal. Normal madness and what they call clinically insane. And in between, there are many who are not. There's psychosis and neurosis. That, in technical language, there are different levels of mental disturbance. Someone may be very highly stressed. It's not considered to be considered insanity, but it's a psychological disorder. If they become stressed, then they become depressed or they become violent as a result of being highly stressed. It's a common thing. So the idea is to become normal. Well, in normal life, as we see it in this world, in the madhouse, to be mad is normal. We see people who appear to be very, you know, very well ordered, very respectable, gentle, or not even, they don't have to, can be just going about their life in a normal way, but inside they feel very depressed, they're very unhappy. It often happens that someone commits suicide and everyone's surprised. If someone's walking around a room looking all miserable, you might not be surprised if they commit suicide. But it's quite common that you see someone who appears to be very happy, very successful, everyone likes them, and then they commit suicide. Because they're just making a show of being happy, but actually they're not. They're very unhappy. What is the reason? And then you try to, the psychiatrist, if they see someone's very unhappy or disturbed in their mind. Actually, to be disturbed in your mind, it's a good sign, because in one sense, because if we think that we're happy and everything's okay, well, that's another stage of madness, isn't it? We're getting beaten by rods. Of course, a self-realized person would be detached from all of that. But if one does identify with the body and one is suffering in the body and then somehow thinks that, well, it's okay. Anyway, to identify with the body in itself is the madness. So we can't always tell from the outside. And it might seem that someone's crazy, but actually they're not. Sometimes we see devotees who may appear to be not very well tuned in, but actually if you speak with them, they actually understand what they're doing, and what they're doing, they have a very clear concept of Krishna consciousness. So everyone is conditioned within this material world. There are varieties of being mad. There's Tamil being mad, and Telugu being mad, and within that there are so many different castes, there's so many different divisions. Someone is rich, Tamil, high caste, well-educated, and mad. And someone is poor, Punjabi, not rich, not well-educated, and mad. They're just all varieties, that's all, of insanity within this material world. So yesterday I was discussing about how Bengalis, they're very proud of their language, which is all right if we accept that it's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's home language. But if we just say, we have such great language and so many great poets and so many great philosophers and swamis came out of Bengal. Not only that one, there are many, many avatars and swamis came out, especially around the end of the 19th century, beginning of the 20th. So he may be proud of that, but it's something like the worm in stool, who after all is a jiva who's supposed to be living happily with Krishna, being attached to the stool. If the worm in stool is taken out of the stool, he'll crawl back because he likes it. My stool. I live here, my home, home sweet home. So people are proud of their cultures. The people tend to be proud of whatever's there. If they're rich, they're proud of being rich. If they're poor, we're the poor. We are the people. Get together, have a communist march. We are the people. We're proud of being poor. We're the real working class. Whatever it is, you become proud. But it's the pride is madness. In fact, here we have the word mataha, madness. Pramataha means more. There's mata means proud, and pramataha means exceptionally so. And mada is another word for pride. Kam, krodh, lobh. Then what's next? Mada means pride. Also, one of the meanings of it is the exudation from the elephant when he's in rut, or the elephant when he's getting excited, some juice comes out of his head. So like a mad elephant. So this pride, that is also another madness. Mada means pride, or it means madness. Mad we have in English. Mada, madness. So people are proud of their culture, or they identify with their body. That just comes up. This is from Rishabhdev's teachings. I've just been listening to some lectures that Srila Prabhupada gave in South Africa when he just first got this fifth canto, was published and brought to him. And there's a famous photo taken by Bhargava Prabhu, I believe, of Srila Prabhupada looking at the photos within the fifth canto of the hellish sufferings with a big grin on his face. Not that Prabhupada is pleased that people are suffering, but he's pleased that this information is being made available to others. So this is from Rishabhdev's teachings, and just a few verses on from this, we'll get what is the nature of that madness. Pungsastriya mithuni bhavametam tayor mitho hridaya grantim ahuhu Ato griha kshetra sutapta vitair janasya moho yamahamameti. The attraction between male and female is the basic principle of material existence. On the basis of this misconception, which ties together the hearts of the male and female, one becomes attracted to his body, home, property, children, relatives, and wealth. In this way, one increases life's illusions and thinks in terms of I and mine. So what is madness? It means to be in a state of illusion, to think that something is real when it's not real, or to imagine a reality. As a joke goes, but it's an instructive joke in this context. So I'm not just telling jokes for the sake of jokes. But the Prime Minister of India went to visit a mental home, mental institution. And he asked one of the inmates, what are you doing here, this and that? And then the inmate asked him, well, what is your name? And he said, Narendra Modi. He said, don't say that. I said that, they put me in here. So you get the idea. He's imagining that he's the Prime Minister of India. He's not. He's put in the mental institution. The real Prime Minister of India, if he says Narendra Modi, he doesn't have to say. Everyone knows. Except maybe Kalki didn't know. He didn't lie. He didn't get the joke. He didn't know the name of the Prime Minister of India, it seems. If we come in 1,000 years' time, will there be India as we know it now? Will they remember the name? Maybe it'll be in some book. Some historians will know the name, maybe. Anyway, it's a misconception of who we are is madness. If we think that this is my country, this is my home, ato griha, kshetra, this is my home, this is my country, kshetra. These are my children. This is my money. This is my property. This is all madness, because it's not really real. It only appears to be real. It's an illusion. And everyone is born in a particular situation with different mentalities according to Karmana Daiva Netrainer Jantur Deho Papateye. We get different bodies according to our previous karmas, previous desires. And then we think, yes, this is me. We're born with certain mentality. You can see that's on the chart. They do the astrological chart. This person will be very argumentative, you could see. You can see some trait in a person. You can predict that. Some will have some traits, inclination toward spiritual life, inclination toward devotional life. And you can see that also, that this person in the chart may be very spiritually inclined. So that's favorable for devotional service. If you come in contact with devotees, someone may have some inclination toward religion, but they have other traits, just like by nature they're very lazy, which is not favorable for any kind of progress, either material or spiritual, to be lazy. Again, I just heard in South Africa, one devotee asked Srila Prabhupada, is laziness demoniac? So what's the answer? Yes? Prabhupada said, no, it's less than demoniac. Because in sattva-gun, one is busy for spiritual life. In raja-gun, one is busy for material life. And in tamagun, the demons, they're busy doing harm. The lazy person is less than demoniac. Another time, it's very interesting, because actually in South Africa, Harikesh, Brahmananda, Pushta Krishna, they were all there asking Prabhupada so many interesting questions. In one, I'm getting off course here, off track, but anyway, Srila Prabhupada said, the whole Shastra recommends us to be lazy. But Srila Prabhupada explained that, not exactly laziness, but not to be busy, active, enthusiastic for material life. One should be thoughtful. Brahmana, he should not be very active and enthusiastic for nonsense. So we all have some inborn traits, and people are born in different situations according to their previous karmas, so that they may cultivate such traits. People are put together, people of similar mentality are put together. And then there's acculturation. We get by the culture we're born in, we have already some predisposition, and then by association, we get sangat sanjayate kamaha, karanam guna sangasya. By association with the modes of material nature, we get sadasadiyoni janmasu, we get born in different situations. And then in those situations, we cultivate, or we inculcate various attitudes, and then we think, yes, my culture is, this culture is the best culture, Tamil, must be. See, have a nice festival, Pongal, very nice festival, and we'll worship the cows, and then afterwards send them off to the slaughterhouse. Isn't it? The people worship the cow, and then when the cow doesn't give enough milk, sell them off, and they go to the slaughterhouse. So it's rascaldom, naturally. But everyone's saying, yeah, it's the best. Culture is very influential, no doubt. That's why we see here in India, people can take to Krishna consciousness more easily. We see people take more easily than in, for instance, Japan. Anyone want to go to Japan and preach? It's not easy at all to even interest anyone even slightly in Krishna consciousness. It's been like that since Prabhupada first sent devotees there. That must have been the early 1970s. It's been a difficult job to preach there. So the culture here is more favorable. People, and many jivas who already have some inclination to Krishna consciousness are sent to this land. Culture is very influential. Go to Sri Lanka. We work mostly there among the Tamil Hindus, but we can see in many ways they're different. They're more favorable to Krishna consciousness. Whereas here in India, people, they are more interested in being wealthy than being good. That's my observation. Don't mind. Or getting money is more important. In just like we see the so-called more cultured people, educated people, they like to be doctors, and they become a doctor, and they just like you put, they put the needle in and take out the blood. They do that with your money. They suck it out. Or the lawyer, their business is just to cheat you, that's all. I hope no lawyers see this, then they'll make a case against me. They'll do. He's insulting us. Then they'll make a false case. How many crores and crores of cases pending in India? The lawyers like it. More cases. Good. Let there be more. More money. And just bounce the people back and forward. Send them to this court, that court. Let the case go on for years and years, and they're milking money out of them. Whereas in Sri Lanka, I mean, this is a broad generalization, but in general, people, they're not so much interested in getting money and being materialistic. And I saw that in Russia when I first went there in the 1980s. One major reason for that is that even if you want to get lots of money, there's no way to do it. There's just the economy in terms of economic terms, it's stagnant. So in Sri Lanka also, if you want to be rich, there's nothing you can do about it. There's no getting ahead. In America, it's assumed that people are just motivated by money, but it's not true in all cultures. Where there's no way to get more and more money, then people are not interested in it. They don't think like that. In traditional Indian culture also, Varnashram, the Baba wasn't thinking about getting rich. The only people who were thinking about getting rich were maybe the Vaishyas. If they're in a village, anyway, how rich can you get? How much can you make out of? And Kshatriyas, they're interested in this. But the Shudras and less than Shudras, mostly they had no way to become rich. So they weren't even thinking about it. And Brahmanas are not supposed to. Of course, speaking in very general terms here. So, what has this got to do with us? We're all devotees, right? Well, we're also conditioned by our previous, the consciousness that we've acquired over many, many lifetimes, and the conditioning that we've been through. The attachments that we have. So it's good to look at ourselves also and see what is our conditioning, and not to imagine that we are beyond that. Devotees are in the transcendental position. Mangchiyo vyabhicharena bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samatityayata brahma bhuyaya kalpate. Those who engage in avyabhicharini bhakti, devotional service which is without any other desire than to please Krishna, and they were always engaged like that, ahaitukiya pratihata, they are automatically on the spiritual platform. But we are sadhakas, we are not siddhas. We are on the path. We haven't reached the goal of being completely free from all material contaminations which arise from aham mama, aham mameti, janasya mohoyam aham mameti. We're not free from that. So we may imagine ourselves to be transcendentally advanced, but it's good to, or it's required to, understand that we are conditioned and we have to go beyond that and not just artificially assume some transcendental position. For instance, someone may think that, well, I'm very renounced brahmachari, but they're making all arrangements for their material comfort, like a grihastha, like a materialistic, not gross, but you have to have everything comfortable in order. See, I'm a senior brahmachari, so I get an air conditioner. Yeah. It's not brahmachari life to have all comforts and luxuries and all the latest electrical goods. Anyway, you're not going to get them here, brahmacharis, because no electricity. So, unless you can smuggle in some batteries, you can't go in for all this kind of thing. We won't let you get all, whatever's required for service, nothing more than that. So there are brahmachari grihasthas or sannyasi grihasthas. They're actually, do a little bhakti and relaxed. That's not the mode of someone who's
a servant of Srila Prabhupada who didn't relax. He worked hard every moment for serving Krishna. And then you get some grihasthas who are just artificially trying to show themselves to be very renounced. But that in grihastha life, one has to so renounced they don't look after their children properly, they don't look after their wives properly. But grihastha life means that internally one should be cultivating detachment from everything in this world. At the same time, one has to be responsible for the responsibilities one has accepted. And brahmacharis also, they have to, their responsibility as being a brahmachari is to brahmachari guru kule vasandanto guru hitam. Their responsibility is to live in the ashram of the guru. Oh, very nice, I have a place to stay. No, but they have to live controlling their senses for the benefit of the guru. Dasavan, acharan, nicho, living in a very humble way, not very luxurious way. Sudira guru sohridam, with a firm vow of friendship for the guru. In other words, acting not for one's own benefit. And the responsibility of the grihastha is to, material responsibility is there, which is in Krishna consciousness, that material responsibility becomes spiritual because the grihastha has to raise his children not only by giving them food, clothing, and shelter, but by giving Krishna consciousness and by himself setting the example of Krishna consciousness, not becoming artificially detached and causing a disturbed situation and so much suffering to those who he's supposed to be nourishing. Now, this doesn't mean that a brahmachari doesn't have any facility and doesn't mean that a grihastha just doesn't try for material advancement, doesn't try to be austere, should do so, but everyone should know what is their situation and come up gradually and try to act on a level above his level of conditioning. Otherwise, there's no progress. We should know our conditioning and act at a level above that, but not imitate a level way, way, way above our actual level of realization. So everyone should try and become more and more advanced. We should recognize our conditioning, that I'm not on the level of Raghunath Das Goswami, I probably never will be. But in my situation, let me serve Krishna to the best of my ability. Not that, well, I see, I'm like this, and that's my conditioning. I can't do anything about it. No, one has to apply oneself to the process of Krishna consciousness. Come up, make progress. So we should recognize our conditioning, but at the same time, not recognize our conditioning and not try to artificially go beyond that. And at the same time, recognize that our conditioning is to be gone beyond. That we have to make progress, but shanaya shanaya ruparamid buddhya driti grihitaya, we should gradually make progress with intelligence and determination, not artificially, and then by imitation we won't, that's another kind of madness, we won't make actual progress. It's enough to imagine ourselves to be what we are, what this material situation that we have attained, that's one kind of madness. And to imagine ourselves to be completely free from the conditioning, that's another kind of madness. So we have to practice Krishna consciousness sanely. We see that even Krishna, of course, when Krishna was in Vrindavan, he was acting as Lila Purushottama. He didn't follow any rules. He was to set an example as Maryada Purushottam, Sri Ramachandra, he set the example of how one should live and act in this world. Krishna did also when he was in Dwaraka. He'd get up early in the morning. He would perform meditation and sadhana, do a sacrifice, and give charity, see auspicious things. He followed the perfect life of a Vedic householder. And the devotees also, within their different levels, they acted in different ways, especially in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. We see that so many devotees, they're in different statuses of life. They acted accordingly. They're all pure devotees. Haridas Thakur was the greatest proponent of the holy names, Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur. But he upheld the social position by not making a campaign to go into the Jagannath temple. because to have done so would have upset the whole situation so much. So different people acted. They're not conditioned, but they didn't try to act in a different way, or different to their nature. So we see that the different devotees, we get a glimpse into their personality. Damodar Pandit was very critical in the sense he would see the little deviation, he would warn, don't do that. So that was his service. Govinda, the servant of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, perfect servant, serving quietly, making sure everything was in order. Even sometimes Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would chastise him, never said anything, just went on with his service. So they all set the perfect example to how to teach us how to live a life, disciplined life, following all the requirements of Krishna consciousness, all for the sake of the satisfaction of Krishna within the situation that we find ourselves within. Sthane stita shutikatang tanuvang manobe ye prayasa jita jito pitais trilokyam. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very much appreciated the statement of Lord Brahma. Gyane prayasa mudapastya namanta eva jivanti san mukharitam bhavadiya vartam. That we should live our life not being puffed up with some false conception that I can know everything by my own brain. I can imagine what is spiritual advancement. Become humble, listen to the devotees, dedicate oneself fully. Whatever situation we're in, we can go on with that and practice Krishna consciousness. Of course, sometimes young men, we take them out of their situation and put them in brahmachari ashram. In early life, that is, and for older men also, we may advise to renounce their home and hitvatapatam grihamandaku pambanam gato yadharim ashrayeta. As Prahlad Maharaj advised his father, Hiranyakashipu, giving up this, the cause of the fall of the soul, namely the blind well of family life, one should go to the forest and take full shelter of Lord Hari. But as a general case, stay where you are, whatever you're doing, practice Krishna consciousness. In Bhagavad Gita also, Krishna, Bhagavan, Lord Krishna, read out the verses. There, when he's advising Arjuna, Arjuna was wanting to quit the fighting and become a yogi, a meditator. Krishna told him, Kamindriyani Sanyamya. It's chapter 3, text 6. Kamindriyani Sanyamya Ya aste manasa smaran indriyartan vimudhatma mityachara sa uchyate.
And Krishna says that someone, they may look very good, like a big yogi. They restrain the senses of action, but his mind dwells on sense objects, certainly deludes himself and is called a pretender. So that's a very severe indictment of the someone who looks like a great meditator, but actually, in his heart, he's thinking about sense enjoyment. So he's not fit for renunciation. And there may be someone who's not just pretending, but pretending with a bad motive, like the heron who stands meditating, sometimes on one leg, in the water, like a great yogi. But he's meditating, where's the fish? And as soon as he sees a fish, quickly he'll take it and swallow it, then again meditating. Or the cat. You know, these are all stories from Mahabharata. The cat, he became old and the mice, he couldn't catch the mice, so he thought of a plan. He became a yogi. And all he was meditating on the bank of the river. And the mice became curious. So the cat's not trying to catch. So from a little distance they came and said, "Oh, you're meditating. Oh, what's going on?" He said, "Yeah, I've decided. I've seen everything in this world is false. So now I'm just going to do meditation." So the mice became, "Oh, very, very good cat, huh? Very, very saintly cat." So they trusted the cat, and they'd come and time to time take instruction. And then gradually they noticed that, "Oh, what happened to that mouse? Oh, last time I saw he was going out to Swamiji. He didn't come back. Oh, I wonder what happened." And then they gradually worked out that when the mice come close to the cat, fully trusting, he gobbles them up. So, cheating yogi. Then the next verse in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Yastrindriyani manasani am yarabhate jurna kam indriya karma yogam asakta savishishyate. On the other hand, if a sincere person tries to control the active senses by the mind and begins karma yoga in Krishna consciousness without attachment, he is by far superior. So someone who just pretends to be renounced, Krishna calls mithyachara. He's cheater, pretender. But if someone acts in this world and begins karma yoga without attachment, he's in a better position. So it's better to be recognize I have the various faults. I'm in this situation. Let me try to serve Krishna, rather than trying to show, no, I don't have any faults. I'm great. I'm fine. I'm doing wonderful. No. If you see any fault, then you're an offender. Vaishnava, you see, making Vaishnava apparat. He thinks he's a Vaishnava. So if you offend me, you're doing But if you think I'm a Vaishnava, then you're not a Vaishnava. Amito Vaishnava, e buddhi hoile amani na hobo ami. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that if I think I'm a Vaishnava, then I'll be puffed up. I'll be a fool. So, everyone in this world is mad because they have an illusory concept of themselves. So if we come to Krishna consciousness and we have another illusory concept, instead of identifying I am this body, we think, well, I am practically on the level of Haridasa Thakur. Or whatever. Yeah, I'm already a great advanced devotee. I'm very senior devotee. Don't you know, I'm a very senior devotee. Then one becomes hypocritical. We should go beyond all illusory concepts of ourselves. It's painful to see who we actually are. The mirror can be very painful. Materialists love the mirror.
Ah, how nice I look. Oh, how wonderful I am. Yeah, everyone in the world's mad. They don't appreciate. See, I'm the only sane person because I'm the only one who recognizes how wonderful I am. Insane in this way. But it's good if we actually look in the mirror and we say, oh, what's in my heart? Not so good. Well, go on praying, go on chanting, go on serving. Being properly situated. If one is brahmachari, but is feeling too much disturbance from the senses, he's a young man, then he may marry in Krishna consciousness. Or someone may be in family life saying, oh, I want to, this family life is all maya, I want to give it up. He said, okay, I decided to take sannyas. And then he suddenly gets the news, oh, I got an inheritance of 1 crore. Well, maybe material, maybe family life's not so bad after all. It's not that he's detached from the, spiritually detached, it's just that it's just too much headache. I'll go and live in the ashram and be a brahmachari and make sure I got an air conditioning in my room. I should have my own private room. So it's not actual detachment. Smashan Vairagya, that example is given. People go to the burning ghat, someone has died, and they see the body is being burned, and they think, that's going to be me in a few years, and what after all is this life? It's all temporary. They become very detached in their mind. Then they walk back and they see the relatives. Oh, I didn't see you since someone else got burned a few years ago. And how are you doing? How are your children? Blah, 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 finished. Renunciation is forgotten very soon. So it's not deeply lodged in the heart. And here's an example which I heard from our friend Manidhar Prabhu, he was here last year, that, okay, we can see everyone's conditioning. If all of a sudden there's a huge fire, and you'll see different people's nature, that people of not very developed consciousness or Shudra, they'll scream and yell and push and shove and get out as fast as they can. The Vaishyas, someone of Vaishya mentality, they'll think, oh, I wonder if the building's insured. Someone of Kshatriya mentality will stand up and say, okay, keep calm. Just listen to what I say. Go out one by one. Don't push and shove. The Brahmana will also be very... not that he's just sitting there getting burned, but internally... He'll act quickly, no doubt, but internally he'll see this is the actions of the modes of material, something is going on. And the devotee will think, what about the deities? Everyone will think, what about me? Or the kshatriya will take, a person of kshatriya nature will take charge, and so he's thinking of everything. But the devotee will think, what about the deities? Who will save them? There was an attack on Mayapur temple many years ago in the early 1980s or late 1970s. It was seen who was a devotee. Because there was one devotee who was in charge of the whole project. He heard, he locked himself in the room. There's attacks by gundas with knives and sticks and bombs. They were throwing bombs. And Raghava Pandit Das Brahmachari, who was later known as Bhakti Raghav Swami, he had, maybe you've seen him, he has one leg. At the time he had two legs, but one of them didn't work very well. His body was quite unfit for fighting, but he went as far as he could to the temple to try to protect the deities. And the bomb was thrown and his bad leg was blown off. That's why he's only got one leg now. So we could see what is someone's level. In a time of great difficulty, we'll see. There's a Bengali saying, Bhajan kara, shadan kara, mate jante. Mate jante hoy. That at the time of death, we'll see what is actually, how much one is developed in bhajan and sadhana, Krishna consciousness. As Srila Prabhupada gave an example, you can train a parrot to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. But when the cat comes, the parrot won't say Hare Krishna, the parrot will say, ah! It's any parrot's chanting, machine-like chanting. So we'll see. That same example, someone may be feel very renounced, but then suddenly they get a crore of rupees and then their renunciation goes away. So we can see there are tests. If there's a severe test, just like all of a sudden you lose all your money, and then they are so overwhelmed, or oh, then I can't chant, I forget about chanting, or oh, Krishna, I don't believe there's any Krishna, how would he do this? The whole Jewish people, they had a still going on mass trauma after the Holocaust. That's not so well known in India, but in the Western world is very well known. The Jewish people, there are some millions of them, were killed by the Nazis of Germany in the I think the actual killing began in the 1940s. It didn't go on very long. It's said to be about 6 million of the Jewish people in Germany and then other countries that were conquered by the Nazis. So it's like a mass trauma of the whole people. And then they're still Jews and they still believe in God, but it's very difficult for them to accept. How could God allow this to be done to our people? They just, in theological terms, many of them don't want to talk about it. They say, how could God allow it? They say, don't even talk about it. It's just, how do different people who believe in God understand that there's so much suffering in the world? And for many Jews, they don't even want to think about the question. They say, okay, there's God, we're worshipping God, why did we don't know, we don't even want to think about it. But other people may become just, there's a calamity, and they say, well, if God, there can't be any God, why would God put me in such suffering? And then they fail the test. Their theism goes away. Or they forget, or they don't want to be identified with God anymore. But other people will say, oh, they'll see, this is Krishna's test. Krishna's testing me. Krishna's putting me in so much difficulty. Actually, I deserve to be punished much more. I'm such a rascal, but Krishna's kindly giving me just a little test. So we'll see in difficulty how much someone is a devotee. And also in great supposed material happiness, suke duke same kritva, labha labho, jaya jayo, in gain and happiness or distress, gain or loss, one should remain fixed in Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, it may be like that. Someone gains a lot of money suddenly. That's called happiness in terms of material happiness, although it doesn't actually bring happiness, but people have a sense that I will be happy if I get money. We see Sudama Vipra at Porbandar is now the name of that place. Sudama Puri. He got so much money, his Krishna consciousness wasn't changed in the slightest. Before he was remembering Krishna in poverty, then he was remembering Krishna in wealth, and using that wealth in the service of Krishna. Someone else, they may get money and they think, now I can enjoy myself. What do I need to do all this bhakti for? And we see, sometimes people, they get in an opulent material situation. Srila Prabhupada writes in one of his purports in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, I believe, that he says, sometimes we see people take to Krishna consciousness and when they become materially well situated, they go away. They got what they wanted. they found some way to improve their material situation within Krishna consciousness. So, I could go on. Should I go on or not? I'm told that sometimes goes on till 10 o'clock on Sundays. And it's a holiday also, right? Apart from being Sunday. So instead of enjoying yourself with Pongal and thinking everything wonderful, you can listen to some hard truths. Otherwise, everyone gets happy for 3 days and then they're back to the rest of the year, the hard grind. So, the point is that everyone who's taken to Krishna consciousness also has material conditioning. And it's not that just by someone may put on saffron cloth and then all of a sudden all the material desires go away. It doesn't work like that at all. It's generally recognized, what is that? Panchashordvang vadang vrajet. When one reaches the age of 50, one should leave the family home and go to the forest. It can be with one's wife also, vanaprastha. Of course, nowadays, going to the forest and performing austerities is not very realistic, but anyway, you can start to withdraw from all the family affairs and then become more and more absorbed in Krishna conscious activities. So the idea is that one should gradually become, immediately if you can, but that's the problem. And that's, we don't immediately become Krishna conscious. That's why we have the process of sadhana. It's a gradual process. Sadha kanam ayam prena. Pradurbhave bhavet kramaha. Kramaha means step. Step by step, we make progress as sadhakas, practitioners of Krishna consciousness. And then prem appears, manifests, that comes gradually, not in an instant. It may happen in some cases, but it's not usual. So, being realistic about our situation, artificially trying to be a brahmana, but actually we don't have that tendency. We want to show ourselves as a brahmana. It doesn't matter, brahmana, kshatriya, whatever. Material conditioning may be there. Grihe tako bone tako shada hari bole dako. Grihe babonete take hagoranga bale dake narotam amage tarasanga bhaktino tako sings. Narotam tako sings. That whatever situation one is in, one has to chant the holy names of Krishna. But that varnashram situation is there, but either as brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, or sannyasi. Or as brahmana, kshatriya, vaishya, shudra, because people do have different natures. And if we're well situated within our conditioning, these brahma, all these stages, these varnashram, 8 designations, they're material designations, but they help to place us in a situation which is synchronizes our psychophysical condition, which makes us easier to advance in Krishna consciousness. If we're fighting against our material nature instead of dovetailing it in Krishna's service, then it becomes more difficult. That's why Krishna twice tells Arjuna, Shrayan Swadharma Viguna Paradhyama Bhayavaha, that one should engage in one's prescribed duties according to one's situation within Varnashram and not try to do someone else's. It'll cause so much disturbance to ourselves and to others. So instead of artificially trying to be that which we're not, accept, I'm in this situation, I'm in a male body or a female body, so I have to act accordingly, according to gender, according to conditioning. it's quite common we see someone, they're a young man in the brahmachari ashram, after some time they develop some uncertainty. Am I going to be able to do this all my life? Well, maybe I should get married. Generally I say, if brahmacharis ask me, well, do you think I should get married or not? I tell you, better get married. And if you're even thinking about it, then you're in a wobbly situation. Better, that's what I put in that brahmachari book. There's one chapter titled, if you are thinking of getting married. If you're thinking about getting married, forget it. And if you can't do that, read on. So if one is thinking like that, if one is not fully enthusiastic, yeah, I got to do it, go ahead, then what? He may remain unmarried, but again, he'll become a brahmachari grihastha. In Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada uses the term grihastha brahmachari. In Bhagavad Gita, he uses that term for someone who's a grihastha, but that license, dhamma viruddho kamosmi bhutosmi kamosmi bharatasha. Dhamma viruddho bhuteshu kamosmi bharatasha. That license for sense gratification, for sexual contact, according to the laws of dharma, he only used it for producing children. Such a grihastha is called a grihastha brahmachari. So that is a very honorable situation. But to be a brahmachari grihastha is not at all honorable. That actually one has so many desires for material enjoyment, but he thinks there's too much trouble. I'll just be a brahmachari and then make a comfortable situation for yourself. And yeah, well, I have to get up, all right, and make a show of getting up in the morning and this and that. But not really, brahmachari should be brahme charititi brahmacharya. He's actually absorbed in spiritual consciousness. But it may be that we many times see someone's brahmachari and then not sure if he can go on. Then all right, discuss it. Maybe we just wait a little time and see. It's a major decision. But if one consciousness becomes unclear, I think, well, shall I get married? Yeah, I think, but no, it's too much trouble and better stay a brahmachari. And going with it. Then his consciousness is not in Krishna consciousness. So better to be settled. One can serve Krishna in any role or ashram. There's plenty of services to do in various stations of life. So we want good, strong brahmacharis who are happily dedicating their life to Krishna. So yeah, we recommend. You're there, you're happy, okay, stay. And not happy, if one's not happy in the brahmachari ashram, then should gracefully go to the grihastha ashram. Not that just holding on, all of a sudden collapse. Similarly, sometimes we see women in the young girls in the modern age. Previously, they didn't have a choice. They'd be married by force. And no one would think anything wrong with it. But nowadays, they think it's wrong. So they think, no, I'm not going to get married. And about the age of 30, they think, oh, I want to get married. And then no one wants to marry them because they're already too old. So this Vedic culture is, even materially, it's the sanest thing. It's the sanest arrangement for insane people. The material world is it's a big madhouse. Varnashram system helps us to become sane. But first of all, we need to recognize that we have to submit ourselves and see that we are properly situated at this point, recognizing our conditioning. So brahmachari, instead of bottling it all up inside themselves, there's senior brahmacharis they can talk with and say, this is my situation. And then, like I say, they can, before they get very old, it's better. Srila Prabhupada said that after the age of 30, marriage is not very, I can't remember exactly the word he used, not very palatable, I think, the word he used. Already getting too old, already by about the age of 30, the youth, just the first signs are there that the not quite as strong and fit and healthy as previously, just the first signs start to come. And then it's all downhill from then on. So, with a peaceful mind, one can serve Krishna very nicely. Peaceful means not unduly agitated by material desires. We're all agitated by material desires. But we should be in a situation that is concomitant with our level of material desires and not try to, as saying again and again and again, not try to artificially put ourselves into another situation. In other words, a brahmachari has to be fully focused on service to Guru and Krishna, fully absorbed in the mission. If not, if persistently, year after year, it shouldn't go on year after year, that one is so much struggling with material desire, then the system is given by Krishna, Chato Varnya Maya Srishta. He mentions the four varnas that he created, but concomitant with that is the four ashrams. Then one can go to the Grihastha ashram. We're not recommending that all brahmacharis do so, but we're also not recommending that people not artificially maintain themselves as brahmacharis. And it's not that by going to the Grihastha ashram, all of a sudden, all the desires will disappear, but one is better situated for his own spiritual advancement. Otherwise, sometimes we see young brahmacharis very enthusiastic. They're dovetailing their youthful energy, but that enthusiasm is a dovetailing of the youthful energy, but that enthusiasm has to become solid on the spiritual platform of understanding and commitment. To be enthusiastic by having a lot of energy, all right, that's expected of young people, but then we'll have to see as they get older if they maintain that enthusiasm. Enthusiasm doesn't necessarily mean running around as fast as you can, doing 20 services, jumping up in the air in kirtan. Enthusiasm will be seen in course of time by steadily committing oneself to service year after year after year, sustained enthusiasm. Otherwise, enthusiasm in the mode of passion, that's good if it's dovetailed in Krishna's service, but that has to be utsahan, nishchaya, dharyat. The real enthusiasm is sustained with determination and patience over many years. So, if we do this, then we can go forward nicely in Krishna consciousness. We shouldn't use our conditioning as an excuse. Oh, well, anyway, in my chart it says I'm angry, so get the hell out of here! We should overcome the bad traits in our chart, in our conditioning, or use it in Krishna's service. If we have a tendency to be angry, then generally anger is not very favorable, either materially or spiritually, but we should have a sense of indignation against all these cheaters who are cheating in the name of being scientists and politicians and yogis and swamis. So we can channel that anger into preaching Krishna consciousness, distributing Srila Prabhupada's books and challenging these rascals. And by in various ways we can channel that anger, dovetailing. So we shouldn't use our conditioning as an excuse, but at the same time we should understand what is the nature of conditioning and endeavor to gradually improve, apply ourselves seriously to the process of Krishna consciousness. And then that conditioning, it can become an asset. Of course, just like laziness, that is not an asset. But generally in this material world, one is is in ignorance. We're born in ignorance. Agyana timirandhasya, we're in the deep darkness, the blindness of ignorance. But the tendency to be active, so everyone is active in this world, so we can engage that conditioning. Someone has very intellectual conditioning, so they may engage that in study of Shastra. Someone has a very dominating condition. That's very dangerous, because the demons, they think Ishvaro hum. So that's why I am the controller, I am God. So someone has this tendency to dominate others, the Kshatriyas, they have to come under the guidance of pure Brahmanas. Otherwise they'll become demons. But that can be used also, because leaders are required for organizing Krishna conscious movement, and in mundane society, leaders are required also. If someone has the tendency to make money, you can do so. Of course, everyone wants to make money, but we see many people, they try to make money, but they just get cheated and they lose all their money very quickly. But someone who's actually has that expertise, they can use the money, give for Krishna, or help to manage the affairs of the Krishna conscious movement. And in Krishna consciousness, in our movement, it's considered prestigious to be like a Brahmana. But if someone hasn't got that nature, they can sit all day and study and teach, then they can do some work according to their nature. And actually, we're also conditioned by mundane society. Who's going to sit all day and study? Everyone needs some, what we call active service, physically active also. So in this way, if everyone is properly situated, then everyone can cooperate, and all their different natures can come together to nicely serve Krishna. Srila Prabhupada wanted to establish Varnashram society. So devotees, in one sense, are above Varnashram, but in another, we need to know what is our conditioning and act accordingly. And if everyone is well situated according to their nature, then we can cooperate very well to serve Krishna. And that conditioning, it becomes an asset, not an obstacle to our advancement. If we're thinking, I'm a Brahmana, that conditioning, if one overly identifies with that conditioning, then that becomes an obstacle to one's surrender to Krishna. Because we're not Brahmana. Naham vipro, na chanarapatya, na api vaishno, na shudra. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I'm not a Brahmana, kshatriya, vaishya, shudra. So to identify with that conditioning is an obstacle. But if we take that conditioning and use it in Krishna's service, in whatever service we do, then that will become our asset. Of course, in Krishna consciousness, we often have to do things as a preaching movement. We often have to do things that might not be exactly according to our nature. Just like in the modern age, in the army and the war, in the wartime situation, then people do all kinds of things which they might not ordinarily do. It was in the First World War in Europe that all the men got sent to fight, and then the women were in the factories. So that's not a natural situation for women to be in factories. Actually, it's not a natural situation for anyone, but it was presumed that the men would do that work, but then the women started to do it. So sometimes even the children, they're given guns and sent out to fight. If there's a necessity, if it's perceived as a necessity, people may do all kinds of different things, but in a situation which isn't an absolute emergency, then better everyone is well situated. This is the Varnashram, practical application within our society. Everyone should be well situated. Then everyone, they're happy, situated in their service. It's according to their psychophysical propensity or conditioning. Then everyone blends together very nicely, and we have happy society of servants. But when everyone's, or even some, are just trying to be something that they're not, then their mind is disturbed, they disturbed others, and it doesn't set a proper example of how Varnashram society should be organized. So I've spoken here about some young men, they may need to marry, and old men, they shouldn't remain forever working. They should withdraw from working life and engage fully in Krishna's service. Hare Krishna. The Srila Prabhupada very kindly gave us this engagement in Krishna's service so that we can start to become sane. Sane means to serve Krishna. So, any question about this, please? Yes, please. Ah, all right. Okay, I'll take the other question on. Yeah. What did you say? Dream? Greed. It's another symptom of madness. Yeah. Yeah. This kam, krodh, lobha, moha, mada, matsa. They're all interlinked. Kam, krodh, lobha. It's all madness. Yeah. Different devotees are in different financial situations. They're all living. This devotee has more money and I should also get more money. Then I can have the same... Yeah. Let me make a lot of money and then I can serve Krishna without worrying about money. But when you have more money, you're worried about losing it also. And so many people come and bother you all the time. Give me some money. Yeah, satisfaction should be there. In pristine Varnashram, people are should be satisfied. I'm in this situation according to my previous karma. I'm a potter. And someone else is a Vaishya and they're wealthy and I'm not very wealthy. Anyway, it's the situation I got. Krishna put me in this situation due to my previous activities. Let me serve Krishna. Yeah, this is the madness of modern life. The idea I have to get more and more money. You shouldn't be victimized by that. On the other hand, if one has enough money that he doesn't have to work hard, he should still work hard for Krishna. If you have the time, then you should, the balanced time we should use to serve Krishna. Don't sit with your back to the deity. Yeah, so what? That's just a comment and anything else? Yeah. Yeah, so everyone should be Krishna conscious and not try to become... Devotees shouldn't try to imitate materialistic enjoyers, for sure. Definitely not. Yeah, you had a question? Yeah, please. Grihastha should be internally detached. Detached from material desires. Well, it's just a practical thing. One should understand I'm in this situation. I'm not going to be in this situation very long. So I'm in this situation. That doesn't mean that the grihasthas, they don't have affection for their children or their relatives. But they, at the same time, they maintain an understanding that this is a temporary situation and my eternal situation is with Krishna. And if the whole family is Krishna conscious, then you all go to Krishna together. But it is a quandary or a paradox that in grihastha life, how one has to be responsible but not attached, but the situation requires some attachment also. Therefore, at the age of 50, one should start to detach, which doesn't mean necessarily one has to leave the family, but one has to wind down the material side and increase the spiritual side more. And before the age of 50 also, one should cultivate Krishna consciousness and not be irresponsible. Definitely, it's not, that's another misunderstanding, that because you're grihastha and then you suddenly be, oh, I heard we should be detached, and then you just suddenly become like an impersonalist or something, and you just don't show any affection. A Vaishnava loves everyone. So certainly, whoever you're in regular contact, including your family members, then you love everyone except your family members because you're being detached. What is it? It's like the Mayavadis, they say God is everywhere, and then Srila Prabhupada says, then God is not in the temple? No, you don't go to the temple to worship God. He's there. You say God's everywhere, why not in the temple? So you love everyone, but don't love your family members. It's another ridiculous idea. Rather, one should see that I'm in this situation, Krishna's put me in this situation. So naturally the mother will love the children, and naturally the mother will love the husband. It's supposed to be like that. And according to Dharma, one is supposed to serve the husband's parents and guests and so on. So we take, this is, Krishna's given me this service, so I should do it in the best possible way. And not just love the children by giving them food, but give them prasadam, teach them about Krishna, like this. That's another misconception. Grihastha should be like robots. Never smile at their children, because that would mean I'm attached. Another misconception. Hare Krishna! Srila Prabhupada ki jai! Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai!